The Fifth Children's International Film Festival runs from 27 May to 12 June in Sydney and Melbourne. The festival features a number of Australian premieres and a collection of films from across the globe. Joining us now on Celluloid Dreams is Festival Director Thomas Caldwell. Hi Thomas, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
This is the Fifth Children's International Festival, and I'm wondering if you can give me some history on the festival's origins and its aims.
The festival began in 2018. We missed 1 year because of the lockdowns. Year five, and it's my third year as the artistic director. And the original aims, which have been pretty much consistent, is to deliver a festival exclusively for children. And we're thinking, ages three to sort of young teenagers. There's nothing that's suitable for kids sort of older than 10. There are lots of festivals in Australia that have stuff for young people, or they have one or two children's films, but nothing that's exclusively for kids in Australia. There are plenty of international film festivals that cater exclusively to children, but nothing in Australia. So that was seen as a gap in the market and something that was needed. And a big part of the idea behind the programming is to be able to deliver to Australian kids really high quality entertaining films and TV episode compilations that they wouldn't be able to see otherwise. You know, the streaming services here and the films that reach the cinema here are great, but they are limited. It tends to be the same small handful of countries that we get stuff from. And so this festival wanted to look at all the stuff coming out from countries all over the world. So it's a way of presenting children and family audiences here with stuff they're just not going to see otherwise. Some of these films may pop up in the cinema or on streaming services, but the majority won't. So, this is a way to have a really unique cinema experience and see something that you wouldn't see otherwise.
And given that the films are international, I'm assuming that a number are subtitled, or how do you focus things with kids that maybe aren't able to read subtitles? How does that work?
No, it's a really good question, and it's something we've wrestled with from day one. The idea of presenting a film dubbed over in English would have horrified me a few years ago, but having worked on this festival, it's become a necessity because even children who are capable readers won't necessarily be up to speed with reading subtitles as they fly past on screen. Plenty of kids can, of course, but we want to make these festivals as accessible and enjoyable for as many children as possible. So we've actually over the years reduced the number of films screening with subtitles because we do get limited numbers of people coming to subtitled films. So for this festival, all but two sessions are either English language films or dubbed in English. Even some of the live action films we have are dubbed in English. And the dubbing these days is so much better than it was when we were growing up. Like a lot more care and thought and precision goes into it. So the only two other films that are the exception are a couple of French language films. So we are presenting two films in the original French language with subtitles. But yeah, the rest are either originally produced in English or I've got really good English dubs.
Yeah, I guess with the advent of streaming, dubbing services have really ramped up to make content more accessible because also your stories are different. The stories from across the globe are different, and that's obviously what we're patching into kids here. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's a really good comment. And part of the joy of this is that presenting a world of difference and diversity, but then also seeing these universal ideas and themes that remain constant throughout the entire world. We don't program for specific themes and values, but things like the importance of friendship and family, learning resilience, sort of coping with adversity, the importance of kindness and reaching out and understanding. Just these themes that happen in film to film, TV show to TV show, regardless of the country. So there's something so lovely that universality is there. But at the same time, yeah, we get unique stories expressing specific ideas from certain cultures that you don't get when you just get homogenized film and TV from the United States, the United Kingdom, Australia, maybe Canada, maybe Japan, which tends to be the countries that we normally get kids' entertainment from exclusively. So it's great seeing an Eastern European perspective. Or we've got a film from Vietnam this year. We've got a film from South Africa. So it's just those slight cultural differences are really entertaining and fascinating. And I think there's also something quite wonderful about how you can still recognize an aspect of commonality, that these are all still human stories, regardless of where they've come from.
Having said that, we've got a great diversity. You've also got some fantastic premieres, Australian premieres, and films from around the world. So, how about you give us some of your highlights?
Yeah, sure. I think all but two of our films, oh no, all but three are Australian premieres. So we're quite excited that we're going to be the first to present a lot of these. I think my pick at the festival, my highlight is a Norwegian film called Tatina. So this is an animated film that's, the dubbing is excellent. I mean, it's easier to dub animated than live action. It's almost seamless now. It's based on a true story of an Italian airship engineer who was living under the shadow of Mussolini, and that's referenced in the film. These kids' films that are pitched slightly older aren't afraid to cover more serious subject matter. So this Italian engineer teams up with a Norwegian explorer, and it was their quest to be the first people to make it to the North Pole. And it's told from the perspective of Tatina, which is the dog that goes along with them. And there's archival photos in the real life archival photos in the film, so you actually see the real people and the real dog. And they go on this, expedition, and then have a huge falling out where their, egos get in the way. And it has actually quite a sort of somber, tragic ending. And I'm really glad I watched this one with my own son, who's 8 and very sensitive. So I got to gauge his response, and he got it. He wasn't traumatized by it. He understood the message, and he was still entertained by it, even though I had a more serious ending. And that was a really great reminder for me to remember that kids are resilient, and they don't have to be completely sugar-coated. There are sensitivities and care to be taken, but we don't have to totally shelter kids from every harsh reality. It's all about how stuff is presented. And Tatina is just a really great example of a mature film. That's really enjoyable and really moving. We're really excited to be showing some more episodes from the series Moomin Valley. So this is a Finnish UK co-production. Every year I've done the festival, I've screened a package of Moomin Valley episodes. It's this terrific TV series that the English language cast includes Rosamund Pike, Matt Berry, Jennifer Saunders. I'm still astonished this series has not been shown in Australia at all, but it hasn't. They're now up to their third season, and we've selected another really beautiful package of episodes. So it's based on the comic and book series, The Moomins. It's sort of translating those to a sort of contemporary audience. And again, talking about really great values, one of these stories in this package is about a new friend to Moomin Valley. Who Moomin Troll, the main character, is trying to introduce to everybody else, but this guy doesn't like being touched. He doesn't always read people's emotions all that well, and it's the show isn't explicit, but it's very clearly this character is coded as being on that autism spectrum, and it's about the other characters learning to adjust and cater for that. And so, really beautiful messaging that comes through in that series. I'm also really excited about Pim and Pom at the Museum. It's another compilation of TV episodes, but this really delightful Dutch series about a couple of cats who have different adventures with various artworks. So, each episode they go to the museum, they're introduced to an artwork, and some of it's, a classic, things like Girl with the Pearl Earring or there's a Rembrandt in there and a Van Gogh, and some of it's very sort of contemporary abstract work as well. And the cats then go and have an adventure inside the artwork. And it's just a really fun way of introducing very young children to the complexities of art and how you discuss art and grapple with its meaning.
Thomas, it's sounding like such a great program. How do people get tickets?
It's at the Ritz Randwick in Sydney, and we've got three locations in Melbourne as well. Yeah, look, the full program is online now at CHIFF, CHIFF, chiff.com.au. The full program is available, and you can book through that website.
Thomas, thanks for your time on Celluloid Dreams. It's been great to talk to you about the festival.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Celluloid Dreams. That was Thomas Caldwell, director of the Children's International Film Festival, which opens this Saturday, May 27. And if you're a subscriber to 2SER, then you can pick up one of three double passes. Just email win@2ser.com with Children's International Film Festival in the subject line. Winners will be notified by email. That's win@2ser.com. And a reminder, you must be a subscriber to 2SER to be in the running. You're listening to Celluloid Dreams.